This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, you know, like, we've talked a lot about a feminization, you know, men are becoming more feminine.
Right.
Like, that's pretty obvious, right?
Feminization of America, 100%.
Well, men are in decline, and the average strength in men has decreased. Sperm counts are at an all-time low. Depression is at an all-time high. We're not talking about it enough, but it's time to turn things around. The reason? Testosterone levels are under attack from a host of chemicals that we are exposed to every day. Soaps, deodorants, shampoos, and shower gels are full of endocrine disruptors. Vaping destroys enzymes linked to testosterone production. Cell phones in your pocket kill sperm count. Seed oils are in so many foods you don't even realize and block androgen receptors, and unfiltered water in most fruits and vegetables contain chemicals and pesticides that have literally caused feminization of male frogs in studies. There's so many things out there that are causing testosterone decline. More important than ever to be proactive and boosting your own testosterone levels with proven ingredients like the ones found in the Legacy Test Stack. Here our boy Nick Alves is to save the day for masculinity. TestX9 is a Legacy Sports Nutrition's best-selling product, and so many of our listeners have already used it and reported phenomenal results in their energy, strength, sex drive. Compounding it with T-Assist adds even more proven test-boosting ingredients as well as estrogen inhibitors to ensure that your masculinity stays exactly where it needs to be. Every ingredient in TestX9 is clinically proven to stimulate natural testosterone production, and for complete transparency, there are links posted on the site to external studies for each ingredient so you can make an informed decision. Toxic masculinity is not a thing. Toxins killing masculinity is. Protect yourself and stay healthy. Stop waiting. Level up now at LegacySups.com and always use the code K100 for a discount and to support the show. That's LegacySups.com. Level up with the Legacy and use code K100.
Right, and this isn't just an ad. Everything that Disco just said is absolutely true. But, you know, as you all know, testosterone, you know, promotes strength, stamina, helps your libido. Estrogen control has everything to maintain your testosterone, because as we know, after a certain age, your testosterone starts to naturally dip.
But definitely check out the products that Nick promotes.
Yeah, and for women's supplements, Mickey James has her own line, but check out everything they do. This is one of our best-selling products, and there's a reason, because it works, and it has a lot of people that come back and keep using. They've been with us for years now because our listeners are using it. Like, we do a lot of stuff for wellness. You notice most of our ads are all about wellness, your hygiene, your health. And this is just another example. So get your legacy subs. Boom.
Next is from Kevin Gilroy. Subject is, can we admit this yet? Cody recently referred to MJF as a proven draw for AEW. Really? Because lately all I'm seeing is 70% empty venues and record-breaking low viewing figures for AEW. MJF has been AEW champion for over a year now and has not been a success. Could we please just admit that this MJF has not worked out like the IWC thought it would? MJF is not a draw. His character is played out, and the minute Tony Khan sees to have him in five different views at the same time is not good TV at all. Can MJF's run be deemed a flop for AEW? I think it can, because, bro, you took the guy you just constantly overexposed him and had him just go out and do the same thing every week. Like, if you did a highlight reel of MJF, like his weekly thing, it would 75% of the segments would look exactly the same. He'd be cutting a promo, somebody would come out, and there'd be a long 15-minute segment of them just, you know, talking in the ring and stuff and everything. His best work, I think, has been like the vignettes and stuff he does backstage, where it's as short as like he's acting and stuff. They're like, you know, I mean, I don't know. He's been atrociously overexposed. It's not his fault. And like right now, it's absurd. He's in a feud with six guys, I think, you know, and like they're all, I don't know. You can't blame him because he hasn't really, like, you know, you can blame a guy for not being a draw if he goes out on TV and, you know, two out of the 4 weeks he's on TV, you say, yeah, that really wasn't that good. You know, like he didn't do well. I didn't, you know, but bro, the guy, like, I'd say like 90% of the time he nails it on the mic. Would you agree with that?
Well, this guy said something like, and you can read it because I don't remember the exact verbiage, like, yeah, MJF hasn't pounded out like the IWC said it would or something like that.
It's not worked out and like that, the IWC thought it would. His right. Run.
And we have to admit he's a flop. Okay. So I'll take both those first. No, he is not a flop. And I'm not the IWC. Bro, you don't need to be an expert to see that the most charismatic, most over, one of the biggest merch sellers and great on the mic and good to great matches is him. You can't put the company problems on him. He's doing his part. Yeah, being five different feuds is mega exposure. You should want to wait to see him. You should come out once, maybe twice to show. That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, would you ever, Conan, and I know there's all different ways to tell a story, but would you ever have your world champion and his focus be the secondary promotion, Ring of Honor's tag team title in a feud? Like going, I think yeah, that devalued him, you know?
But yeah. This is the point. You can't not look at that guy and not think, wow, if WWE had this guy, imagine what they do with him. And that's right. The one guy in the roster you're looking at and saying that about. You know, like that's the right. One guy that they're looking at and go, we could just... This guy's a great actor. He's great on the mic. You know, it's like, it's just, you know, yeah, they're
not only that, the fact that he brought it up in promos, besides being a negotiating ploy,
bro, how he's thinking about it. If he does go there, it's like he would have been talking about it the whole time. It's like, that's why I think he's definitely going to go there. It's like you're literally building up your brand enough to where if they want to keep you, they're going to have to pay a fortune, but the WWE will do whatever they can to get you. And you're going to make a fortune on your deal, you know, like Cody did.
And it's next
Cody,
year.
Cody went back for like $3 million a year downside.
You know? And his own like, bus and his own dressing room and all the perks and WrestleMania.
And he's friends with MJF. You know, they're probably right. I mean, you know, so, yeah. I mean, next is to Jared Avia, and the subject is wrestlers who could have done more in acting. Hi, K100 fam. Hope all is well. Over the decades, so many people from wrestling have dabbed in acting, had various roles in film and TV shows. Wrestlers have been everything from leading men in action films to having one-off cameo appearances in comedies. My question to the crew is, which wrestlers or people in the business do you think had or have the potential to develop great acting careers based on their work in the business? I'm surprised Randy Orton has not done much more acting work, and I also think Shawn Michaels could have done more acting work as well, but what does the crew think? Thank you. All the best, Jarrett. Two guys I see that should be an actor, like MJF and Cross. Like I think Cross is like a Hollywood-type actor-type talent, you know? Randy Orton, he's good. Bro, they got a lot of good actors on that show. Sami Zayn's a good actor.
Owens.
Roman is a great actor. You know, it's like, bro, there's tons of them, you know?
Yeah, Jericho. That's what we do. We act for a living.
Yeah. Next one is from, this is interesting. Joe, try to get this video. Pull the Adam Johnson,
the skate
injury. Oh, yeah. Did the you guy, see that?
He's in England, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so this is from Yumi Matsumoto. The subject is Adam Johnson tragedy. What's up, K100? I'm sure you've heard about the horrible tragedy and the death of the hockey player, Adam Johnson, where he got his throat slashed by another player's skate. Thoughts on this? Also, do you think that neck and throat protectors should become mandatory? Take care, and that's from Yumi Matsumoto. Let me tell you something. This is a very interesting story, okay? Because everybody that's watched this video, and just pull it up, okay? Anybody that watches this video is like looking at this and going, "This is then the guy that was the guy that kicks him here was a former penalty leader in this league. Like he was like the dirtiest guy in the league." Okay, so watch this play, all right, and watch this. Boom!
Oh,
kicks his foot up in the air to hit him with the skate up high. And he stabs him in the throat. He bleeds out all over. You don't have to play the rest of the show. It's gross.
Like he
bleeds all over the ice.
Yeah.
So everybody watching that is going like, you know, on the social media, it's like, this guy should be charged for murder. That's not an accident. That was a kicking motion to everything. But the mainstream news sites are not going there. They're just saying now that they're looking to do safety precautions, maybe throw protectors. And like that's the narrative, safety. We got to protect. And like, well, wait a second. The narrative here should be that guy should be charged criminally for doing that. That should absolutely be investigated. Like, is there history between those two guys? Did they have a fight in the past or so? You know, like, but bro, all everybody's talking about, like the ESPN, all the news, they're just like, oh, you know, they're looking for safety. And the league is coming out and saying that they're going to have mandatory throat protectors now. And I'm like, why don't you know, get to the root of the problem is this guy looked like he killed the guy intentionally. You know, what do you think about that, Conan?
Yeah. So this is in the Penguins minor league system in England, right? And right. Well,
It's just a league in England. It's a hockey league.
I thought it was a Penguins like developmental or like mine. Okay.
No, it's just a league in England. Like these where go players.
Yeah, it's a league in England, but aren't they like a minor league affiliate for Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, I don't know. I would doubt that if it's in England.
Can you look that up, Joe?
Yes.
So basically, that's a freak accident, okay? If the guy did it on purpose, then maybe he should be charged. And on top of that, they have mandated that now in that English league, you have to wear neck protectors. And they wanted, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are asking that it's done in the NHL. The only thing is, in the NHL, you have to get it approved by the players' union.
Right. The team was the Nottingham Panthers. And they're affiliated with the Nottingham Lions. Doesn't say anything.
This is all English. Okay. There's all right.
I was wrong.
Right. No. He played for the Penguins in the past, Conan. That's probably why you.
Right, but he was retired from the NHL. He went to that.
Yeah, but he played for a cup of coffee, Joe. Like, he was there like I don't think 20 games.
Jaromir Jagr went but left the United States and went to Russia to play. But bro, he was like old. It's like 43, 40. Right. You know, but he was doing so good in Russia that we're considering bringing him back to the NHL.
Right.
Like, you know, like what a stud that guy is, right?
I liked him. I thought Yago was a great player.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Right. Conan and Joe.
What up?
Joe.
Yes, sir.
Have you been shaving?
No.
It doesn't look like it, but I did shave my face around my goatee last week. Yeah.
Now, do you notice how I keep myself well-groomed? Like, I have a nice, clean... I shave in a certain style. I shave my neck. I shave my cheeks. And I keep, like, a little bit of facial hair because girls think that's sexy.
Very designable.
What's his face effect? When you get older and you got a little bit of the little stubble and the gray, the girls think that's sexy. So I've been using Harry's razors for a while, okay? They're 5-blade shavers, all right? They're packaged in these cool, like if you go to the store, okay, and you see the shaving section, Harry's, it's well packaged and it comes in a box. It's not like in the little plastic thing like all the other stuff comes in. I shave because I want to look well-groomed, okay? And my experience with Harry's has been great. I've been using Harry's for years. One of the things I like about Harry's is that the color of the handle matches my eyes. I have very beautiful green eyes, and they're kind of like an olive and a green in this everything. So it's a very good looking razor, okay? And if you want a good quality shave, a smooth shave, use Harry's. I've been using it for years. You can see my facial hair. I keep myself well groomed. I know a lot of wrestling fans out there, you don't groom yourselves well. Harry's razors are what you want to use, okay? So a smooth shave shouldn't be rough on the wallet either. The starter set is a $13 value for just $3.
It's unbelievable.
That's it. It's just $3. Okay, you go to the store, you see razors sometimes. They're like ridiculous prices, but this is a professional razor that looks better than the other razors on the racks, and it's just $3.
Well, tell them what else they get with it, too.
Yeah, it includes a 5-blade German engineered razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover.
$3.
They schedule delivery for refills as low as $2. That's half of what you pay for other blades. So Harry's makes the products that will give you the best shave ever. It's got creams, washes, and lotions that will keep your skin healthy and hydrated. Blades made in their own factory in Germany to stay sharp. Guys who try to say their 8th shave is as sharp as their first. It's sleek, ergonomic weighted handles that look great in your bathroom and give you precise control with each swipe. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry. Just look it up. And they're still offering a no-risk trial. You don't like your shave? No worries. It's on them. So get your best shave ever with Harry's razors and skincare products. Get a $13 starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/K100. That's harrys.com/K100 for a $3 starter set. You got to try Harry's. I've been using it for years.
Plus, the great thing about it is that I also like to have a little stubble, but when I have to have a close shave because I'm going to go to an award ceremony or something, you know, on TV, and I want to get that close shave, I use Harry's. And, bro, it's very, very economical when it comes to a shaving gel. So keep yourself groomed, get a nice, smooth, close shave at harrys.com. Boom.
So the next one's from Who Cares? Subject is election fraud discussion from the Disco List 1025. The evidence shows of at least 5 states being involved. More importantly, they've been stealing counties. There are 32 to 33 counties that control how the votes turn out. Look up the counties China Joe won compared to Obama. Web search Gregory Strenstam, a parallel election, storing how these crooked Fs have been stealing elections in Pennsylvania and Delaware County. Carrie Lake has enough posted evidence, enough voter fraud evidence that should scare you. Watch or read 1,000 Mules. After Trump won in 2016, Trump asked Congress to look into election fraud. He believed that he believed there was at least 2 to 3 million illegal votes in Michigan alone. Remember, Trump won Michigan in 2016. Congress responded by saying 2016 and 2020 were the most secure elections in history. What does any sense? That statement should raise red flags big time. I could go on forever with evidence. 2020, Philly boarded up a building where voting was supposed to happen. They wouldn't even let attorneys in with a federal court order to be allowed in. They were even stopped by local police to enter the building. I despise both parties. I can't determine which party is more corrupted. My question is why do you guys think nobody seems to care about your vote being taken away from you? Remember, when your vote doesn't count, you have or will lose your freedom. Like Disco says all the time, he's worried about freedom of speech. Well, they're doing it when they steal your vote. P.S. Larry Douche Dallas sucks donkey D. They don't make him that much dumber than him. Well, boy, Larry's turning into the new Billy with the comments yeah. and the emails where people like to get a sentence in on Larry. I'll just say this, you know, and then this is the way, you know, I would not doubt, because all the conspiracies that have come true, I would not doubt if they found later on down the line that the voting machines were corrupted with that they were hacked. Okay. I don't think a lot of people would be surprised about that, because based on like stuff that happens. My thing is, like, I don't know how you could possibly say that this past election was the most secure when it was all mail-in voting. There's like tons of mail-in voting. If you want to talk about how secure an election is, okay, are you willing to take $1,000 cash and mail it to a friend of yours and put it in an envelope and mail it?
No.
Of course not. No, nobody would do that. So how on earth can you sit there and say, like, you know, that mail-in voting is secure? You wouldn't even send a $100 bill to somebody sometime, you know, in the mail. Because, you know, so that the fact that this mail-in voting is not secure, you know, we need to, like, go back to a system where it's secure. They keep on making all these excuses. The excuses are absurd. And especially, you know, trying to say that, you know, making people get our ideas racist. That's ridiculous. It's like how... how dumb do you think a minority of people are that they can't go through the process of getting that's a racist saying that getting an ID is racist, because then you're saying like, well, you don't think a person's capable of getting an ID? Anybody can get an ID, right? And so
yeah, you have to show ID to rent an apartment, get a bus ticket. You know, you have to have it.
I think a lot of thing is that people didn't have like really poor people didn't have transportation or cars to get there. So that's why they were throwing in the mail-in votes. But bro, both sides do this. I mean, you know, about the Republican closing the polls early in minority neighborhoods so they couldn't fucking vote, or how Florida stole the GOP from Gore. But they both do it. You know, I'm not picking one side over the other. And you're talking about all this election fraud. Bro, to me, Bill Burr, who is Trump's attorney general, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's a big, you know, he worked for George Bush the first. Okay, so he's old school Republican. And, you know, he believes that the fucking executive branch should have authority, that everybody, you know, the Treasury, all the departments, the Treasury, the Defense, Immigration, Justice, they should all do what the president does, when they should be apolitical, just like the Supreme Court should be apolitical, and it isn't anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. But this guy who tried to intervene, you know, and the Roger Stone thing and the fucking Michael Flynn thing and all that. And he's a super staunch, you know, Trump guy. Bro, he said that. Let me see if I have the quote. Wait 1 minute, Joe.
You know what's funny, too, about guys like Bill? Listen, I read this the other day. This is very interesting. Is, you know, anything like Jeffrey Epstein is kind of just shut down. You know, they were supposed to there was supposed to be a judge that was supposed to release the names. And that got shut to get that got shut. Like, bro, the funny thing is there are connections like of Bill Barr to Jeffrey Epstein, like Barr's dad, mm-hmm. I think, taught him something. Anthony Blinken, his father, like taught like Jeffrey Epstein. Brothers, like all these like political people are connected to Jeffrey Epstein, and we never hear about Jeffrey Epstein anymore. You know, right. They just like shut that down and stuff like that, which just makes
because these are old rich guys that are socially awkward, that got no game. So they go to this guy's house and it's like a fucking candy land. But I found what I wanted to say. So this is a quote from Bill Barr, the attorney general, 100% Republican, you know, through and through. My suspicion all the way along was there was nothing there. It was all bullshit. And Pence, the vice president, dude, said there was no discretion ever given to the vice president in history to challenge voting results, nor should there ever be, because, you know, he was getting pressured by Trump.
But I would say this is that it's a dishonest argument to say that there was no voting fraud. Okay, because there was voting fraud, but then he says, but then you immediately dismiss, say, well, not in numbers large enough to mean anything. And that saying, okay, that's fine, but you still have to admit there was voting fraud. Now we're talking about what percentage of voter fraud there has to be to make you care. So that's right. And that's what I'm saying.
But like, I don't care because both sides do it, dude. That's why I don't care.
They cancel each other.
It's almost like when the Democrats do something, the Republicans complain. When the Republicans do something, and they're always complaining about the same shit that the other side does. You know?
But here's the point.
The media changes script.
The media should not be saying, well, it's not enough to make it. The media should be scrutinizing that. Wait a second. Why is there the election should be 100% like if you think about an election. The voting system is very important. It should be 100% secure, but it's not 100% secure. So now, but the fact that the media doesn't really look into it and do a deep dive, why are these elections not 100% secure? I mean, it just makes you wonder what's going on. You know, it's just like I said, show me the evidence. If the evidence is out there, you got to find it. And if the evidence is enough. It's enough evidence to make a
compelling argument.
Like I said, I haven't seen that there
was fraud because I don't know for a fact, right? I don't doubt that. But when the attorney general, who's basically a Trump mouthpiece, and his vice president are saying, what else more proof do you need? You know,
right.
And he even says it here. He goes, I knew my suspicion all the way along was there was nothing there. It was all bullshit. This is Bill Barr, bro.
Yeah.
He worked for George Bush the first. And I don't vote. Because I know you disagree with me at this disco, because if the electoral vote is what counts, why even have a popular vote? To me, the system's broken, corrupt, and greed has found ways to circumvent the greatest constitution where other countries copied us. Mm-hmm. To stay in power as a lobbyist, a spokesman, a consultant, an ambassador, whatever it takes, let's all make money. They only care about their campaign contributors, you know, the big ones and the companies that are contributing them. They don't give a fuck about the people.
But what the guy said, just real quick, what he said about Philly, it's like common knowledge around here that Philly is dirty as shit with election interference and all. And he mentioned Delaware County where I live. Well, a few blocks from me, they busted a storefront that was set up. The windows were blacked out and stuff. Nobody knew what it was really. You know, it was just someone renting a business space, and they got popped for election interference. They got arrested in there, and there was ballots and all this shit. So it was happening right around the corner from me.
Bro, and what big city, and I'm going to name a couple, Miami, my city, Chicago, Philadelphia, LA. Haven't you read in the last few years, all sorts of voting irregularities, people being put on trial for bribery, for accepting bribes. Bro, they get in there and they can't withstand the power and the money, and they want to stay in there. It's like
Baltimore.
They're addicted to power.
This is what worries me. Okay. Is that some people have decided, okay, and this could potentially be, this could be a theory that exists, is that enough of people have decided, okay, that the civil unrest that we would get from learning that these elections are far more corrupt than people are being led to believe.
Right.
They decided that we can't let people know this because it might create like there might be civil unrest and rise up against the government. And if that is the case, that's very scary. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, and I would say to my, I keep 10% of my stuff to conspiracy theories. I think there absolutely is a 1 in 10 chance that is the climate that exists right now is that they decided they know these elections are people are cheating and stuff and things, but if all the dirty shit got found out, the people might revolt. 330 million people in the United States of America. You know what I'm saying?
All it takes is one disgraced senator like this guy that they're bringing to trial right now. Well, no, right now it's going to be next year.
Right, yeah.
Well, Menendez, Santos,
one of the guys that Trump pardoned.
Right. All it takes is for one of them, just one person. There's a lot of people in politics that blow the lid on everything, and they're done. You know, so if I were them, I'd fix the system. Yeah, I'd fix the fucking system, bro.
Yeah.
They've gotten way out of hand. Too obvious. Everybody knows about it. They make jokes about it. They make comedies about it. Whole TV shows talk about it. I mean, they've been exposed. Fix the shit.
Yeah.
Because you are going to get civil unrest one day.
Yeah.
Next is from Ronnie Steele on the subject is AW Collision Live Report from Mohegan Sun. Let's get right to it. Disclaimer. ROH had tapings before and after AW Collision. Most of the audience, including myself, left during the first match of the second taping as we were all burned out after the Omega MJF match. The arena was about a quarter to half full during the majority of the first Ring of Honor tapings, and fans were not really into the Ring of Honor matches and stayed relatively quiet throughout. Daniels is a bit over, however, as were the righteous. Some moments to note, this is interesting.
Who's the righteous?
I have no idea. But this is interesting. Some moments to note, the Disco List member, Rachel Ellering, absolutely hurled her opponent like a frisbee. It looked brutal and reckless. The Righteous are cool. Anthony Ogogo got the what treatment? Oh, he's on that show?
The Righteous is Dutch and Vinny. Remember we talked about them before?
Ooh, that's right. Dutch and Vinny. What do they Dutch make? Dutch and
Well, Ring of Honor just seems like the NXT of AEW. It was kind of lackluster, though it was in a ramp big time. AEW Collision, about three quarters of the arena was full. Tony Schiavone and Tony Khan got great ovations. The Ass Boys and Juice Robinson are very over.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
The women's title match between Conan's side chick Abaddon and Sheeta sucked. Nobody cared about A.R. Fox or Jay White and stayed quiet throughout their match. The Dax Harwood-Ricky Starks match might have been okay, but I was too busy trying to get Big Bill over by screaming his name throughout. Which is kind of disrespectful, but I was in Iran big time. Like I said,
that's tremendous.
And what a dumbass name, Big Bill. Samoa Joe was over, but not like he wasn't WWE, believe it or not. The MJF Omega match was excellent, and the crowd stayed hot throughout. It was about 75-25 MJF over Omega in popularity. MJF does a great job getting the crowd hyped up, and is a great babyface. 5 for 5 on the disco ball scale. Last notes for the time scene AEW. As the guys in K100 always say, it's got great wrestling content, but the production values does not match WWE. I've been to too many wrestling shows from indie shows to WrestleManias, and it reminded me of a WWE house show. Small audience, few big names, and a big main event. It was a great time overall, and even my wife, who's a non-wrestling fan, enjoyed the Omega MJF match. Keep up the good content, guys. Absolutely love the show, and Wrestling with Ronzilla on TikTok.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Well, that's a good report. Tony's married to this Ring of Honor. I don't know how much she spent on it, but nobody's getting elevated. It's like when you're...
You know what I think happens, Disco? Joe would probably know this better than me. Joe.
Yes.
I'm assuming he was a Ring of Honor fan.
Tony. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's a Ring of Honor fan, grew up watching it. Now he bought it, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So to him, it has sentimental value, and all the hardcore marks, which are less than he thinks... You know, they all pop for all these great matches that he puts together for them and him. But you've got to forget about them. You already got them, like Disco says all the time. You got to draw new fans.
Yeah, you can't sell like you're running two different organizations. It's like you bought their show. It's just, bro, just take they should have even bought it. It's just taking the talent, like made a deal with them. Hey, let me buy the contracts out of them. These are the guys I want. And just brought them on. You already have three shows on AEW. Now you got a Ring of Honor show too.
Is one of those three shows dedicated to Ring of Honor or no?
No,
or they
Ring
just
of
put
Honor,
Ring of Honor just, talent.
Just on YouTube, I think.
Yeah.
Bro, why would you buy a company to have it on YouTube? Make Collision
it's
a Rampage.
It's a streaming service.
My question is.
30,000 people. 30,000
people. Here's my question. Why wouldn't you make Rampage or Collision one of your ROH shows if that's what you're trying to?
I don't think the network would be cool with that because Ring of Honor's.
Why not?
Because AEW. Yeah, it's a dead brand. I always thought
that. How would they know that? Are they wrestling fans?
Well, it's the same reason they wouldn't let Vince call Raw WCW Raw. He was going to change it. And the networks went, no, that place just failed. Why would we want to do that? You know, it's probably similar. But I was going to say, I thought most of the Ring of Honor value would come from the tape library. I know Disco will disagree, but, you know, if he was planning on starting a streaming service and he has 20 years of Ring of Honor with Punk and Joe and Daniels and Matt Hardy and Jeff was there and Conan and you know what I mean? Like the library
he
has
value. Got any bro. He probably got that. He probably got that dirt cheap.
It says you know he paid under $4 million for everything.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not even sure it was worth that. But anyways, so that's a drop. That isn't even a drop in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you're going to have it, do something with it. And may put it on one of your shows. But like you said, maybe the network's like, yeah, we don't want to put this on our show. Then rename it.
Right. All right. Next is from David Benz. The subject is Tony Khan killed Proud and Powerful. I want to talk about that. So keep it on 100 crew in the latest episode of Rampage. The blow off to the feud. It's funny, too, Conan, people that listen to our YouTube comment section.
Right.
A lot of the comments are like, why does Conan and Disco call it Rampage? Okay.
And I'd like to say that if anyone
agrees, I'm in Iran, dude, and he's making fun of me.
If anyone brings a sign that says AEW Rampage and gets it on camera, I'd enjoy that. Right. So for the listeners,
Dear Keeping 100 crew, in the latest episode of Rampage, the blow off to the feud of former Proud and Powerful members Mike Santana and Ortiz had a match. I know Conan previously spoke about how Santana was more outspoken, and Ortiz is more so a chill person. My question is, do you guys think Tony Khan's booking mistreatment of the team from the very beginning unintentionally killed the team? Was there ever friction between the two prior to signing with AEW? Do you think it was simply being misused and Ortiz not backing Santana with wanting better for them that led to them falling out? Overall, they deserve better from the jump. Also, side question. Do you think the Elite can learn from these two? If you have beef with someone, take it to TV, make money off it. Thanks for answering my question. It's David from Sacramento. Did you watch this match, Conan?
Yeah.
That finish looked ugly. They're like, he landed on his shoulder. Was the kid okay from that?
I don't know, bro. Look, the guy says, "Oh, you can learn and make." Well, what money did they draw? They didn't draw ratings. I don't believe it was sold out. It was rushed. And Santana, who now is fighting for credibility, and you know they better treat me the right way. He should have fought to make this match more meaningful. It's your blow off match. After you have a tailor-made story, you've been together for 15 years. You're both from New York. You're both Puerto Ricans. You know, when they came into AEW, they got a humongous pop. They've never been there before. You know, I don't know. Maybe Santana said, fuck it. I just want to be done with this match and get on with the next phase. But this was underwhelming, to say the least, you know, and I'm sure, I'm sure that Jericho had something to do with this because he picked him. And every time I was there, he was booking his own shit as he should. Obviously, Tony had to okay it, just like I have to get my shit okayed by Dorian. But you had a hot act when they showed up. The place exploded. That's probably a good question to ask Jericho one day when he's not in AEW, you know?
Right.
It doesn't say much for the perception of, and I hope Santana gets the push that he's fighting for. And I hope Ortiz does well, too.
Good luck.
But when you put a blow off to a feud match on your third tier show, that's not a great look for those guys.
You know? And it was rushed. They had one vignette. Mm-hmm. They had like a couple vignettes. They had like a couple. Bro, they should have built this up a lot better, made it a lot more personal. And there's your results. It didn't draw. It didn't sell out, you know. Right. And like you said, they put on their, what is that, their third show?
Third-tier show, Rampage, right. Yeah.
3 out of 3, yeah.
All right, next is from Andy P. This is an interesting one. You're going to like this one, Conan. Subject is Larry Dallas and Conan. Hello, Conan and the two resident Proud Boys. Let's give a yellow card for that. Andy P. Quick question. Is Conan starting to get tired of Larry Dallas? He seems to be easily irritated by Larry, and he's starting to talk to him the way he would talk to KG before KG took a hike. Entonces, ¿qué onda, Conan? ¿Te tiene hasta la madre de Larry? Peace. That's from Andy.
So basically, this guy's asking me in Spanish, what's up, Conan? Are you sick of this guy? So Larry had the same problem that Juventud had, and that, what was your boy that you brought to the mix?
Joel Gertner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now Larry actually, well, I guess he, tell the story, Joe. He hit you up first.
Well, he wanted to be paid for his segment, and he said to me something like, he's not going to dedicate his time to anything that doesn't have, you know, compensation, that he's in school and he can't do it, you know, stuff like that. So that's what happened. He went to Conan for money. And
well, here's the thing, bro. He wanted money. And I'm thinking to myself, Disco, and you can play devil's advocate on this if you want. Okay, so you're on the show 10 minutes for 1 week, maybe 15 minutes when it goes long. How much should I pay you for that? Because you're not really drawing anybody. How much should I pay you for that?
He's doing what the other guys did. You're pissing the fan base off.
Right.
The fans are telling us that this guy's bad for business.
Right.
Like
right.
literally,
that's a good point because seriously, bro, you don't have to travel. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to prep. You don't have to get in a car. You don't got to fly. What am I supposed to pay you for? I mean, the majority hate you and it's not making us money. Should I send you a six pack so you could fucking stay in a drunken stupor? I like Larry, but bro, you know what he did? He did what KG did. Remember that shit that we talked about Sting?
Yeah.
Remember that he said he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame and we said he should?
Right.
Bro, he went on Twitter to try to get people to like agree with him. You know? KG. And bro, you're wrong, Larry. I know it's hard to admit it, but you're wrong. You know? And yeah, he won't be on the show anymore, but at the end of the day, we'll find somebody that, you know, I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Let's be brutally honest. We don't need about Mexican wrestling every single week. That there's not a market for it gets boring. But when the stuff is coming
out, it's boring to you because you don't like Lucha. There's people that like it.
There is people that do look forward to that segment. Yeah.
But I'm interested when there's stories. Okay, when something's happened. Like Larry just goes like, "Hey, this is the card," and you go over the matches and stuff like, and that like that was it. That was like, you know, but when like big events are coming up or there's, you know, like yeah, well, there's stuff to talk about, you know, but. But Larry didn't really know much about Lucia, so I don't know. Our next one's from Paul F. F-U-C-K. I'm not going to say that. Subject is Road Tunes. Hey, K100 crew, longtime listener, first-time question submission. This one's for Conan. Being a fellow Latino, I felt Boricuas and Latinos in general were underutilized in wrestling. So for all of you have contributed to wrestling the ring and behind the scenes, I salute you. My question is, seeing as you said you'd often listen to hip-hop on the road, did you listen to Big Pun and Terror Squad? If not, what would you say your five top rappers you'd listen to before stepping in the squared circle? Thanks for taking the time to read my email. Meliodas from New Haven.
Well, I can actually remember what I was listening to in the 80s when I was in Canada because me and my good friend Jason Anderson, when Owen Hart was driving us around, he would put country music to piss us off. And I would put on hip hop to piss him off. And my 80s, I remember very well, was Public Enemy, NWA, Ice-T, the Ghetto Boys, Luke Campbell, got to represent Miami, Dale. And in the 90s, 100% I remember, it was Pun, Biggie, NWA, Tupac, Cube, Cypress Hill. I got caught up in that whole East West shit. So I arrived on, you know, Wu-Tang and, you know, Mobb Deep and all those guys very late.
Okay. So next, this is an interesting one from Derek Mejia. And subject is Shotzi. Hey, K100 crew. I just got done watching SmackDown. Again, they have Shotzi on TV winning a match against Chelsea Green. During the match, you could tell she was off her mark, missing spots, and just having a bad match again. If you watch Chelsea anywhere else, you know how good she is. I've seen people saying Chelsea isn't that good, but if you watch her anywhere else, you can see she's clearly one of the best right now. Shotzi, however, is really one of the worst in WWE, AEW, or Impact Wrestling. Want to see if you guys notice just how bad she is and why you guys think she's still going over in WWE. The crowd is dead when she comes out. In the ring, she's horrible, in my opinion, the worst on TV. Thank you, and that's from D-Rock. I don't really notice that. I let me tell you something. Shotzi's work shouldn't look polished. She comes out in a tank. You know, she got crazy hair. She's kind of rough around the edges. Her promos are like, you know, right. I mean, that's, you know.
She's kind of got a sexy tomboy look.
Right. You know, and so and she's not like elegant like these other girls and smooth and stuff. I don't know. You know, I think she's fine. I look at her as a TV character. Like these girls aren't like Eddie Guerrero out there. You know, when I watch the women's matches. So it's not like I'm not looking for technical precision and stuff. And then just wanted them to see if they can like just do the basics and who wins the match and what happens afterwards, you know? So that's, I don't know. I think that's overly critical of Shotzi. What about you?
Yeah. The first time I saw her, she was in this promotion that was from Oakland called Hood Slam. And I don't even know if it's, you know, it exists anymore, but she was like a cheerleader and she had a cool name. It was something like Mrs. High as Shit, but they spelled it kind of like, remember how they spelled Justin Credible in ECW?
Yeah,
you know, like if it was a normal name, but then when you said it fast, it meant something else.
Mm-hmm.
So her name was like High as Shit. And I thought, bro, she's green, but wow, does she have a lot of personality? You know, I think she has a lot of potential. They gave her a new look and a character, but not a good storyline. The only thing that they did was Damage Control, cut her hair, you know.
Well, she cut her own hair. She cut her own hair.
I thought they cut her hair first.
Oh, yeah. Then she cut. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. They did cut her hair.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But bro, she's super salvageable. She lost a lot of weight, which I don't think she needed to, but I think she has a lot of potential.
Hood Slam still runs. I just looked it up. All right. Quick. They had a show a couple weeks ago.